Turn to Romans 12:21. Today's title is Go and Set Them Free. This is about culture. We are in the midst of a culture war, not a generation war. Romans 12:21 says, Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We must understand that being goody two-shoes for the kingdom of God is more than just what God expects us to be. Okay? He expects that to be our life. Because God is good, He expects His children to be good, which is you guys. And some of us don't exercise proper responsibility. And responsibility is a two or a compound word, response and ability. Because generally what we do is react or become reactionary to things. But we are in a war for the souls of men. And this war is about good and evil. Evil is desirous. The evil influences is desirous of influencing men who have a special agenda to control people. And part of the way they control people is to deceive people to resign their freedoms, their God-given freedoms, so that they may have that which is being given freely, so to speak. But we know that that's a lie because there's nothing free. Not even your next breath is free. We could see this warfare really being played out even as we're speaking because of the government shutdown in here. And it's really something to understand that there are forces behind the physical realities that we are experiencing that are pulling the heartstrings of men and women who want to blame this party or that group or this person over that. And really, the scripture that it talks about is first, pray for your leaders. Why? So that you may lead a peaceful and quiet life. Those who are directly affected by what is going on in this nation are not living a quiet and peaceful life because they have to figure out how to exist without the support of government assistance or directly working for government or whatever. They are the victims, the silent victims of the individuals that have been elected to further an agenda because the people of God have not been involved in holding individuals accountable. So this warfare is real. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to discern what's going on, even in the midst of what's happening, of which some of you are directly or indirectly affected by what is happening. I'm talking about a spiritual warfare that is going on. We at Streams are going through a spiritual warfare that is trying to impede the progress of Streams in getting into a church building so that we can train God's people into being more effective in the realms of the government, organizations, politics, whatever. And don't limit God to not use you in some form, some way, some persuasion into these forms. It could be as much as being involved in PTA, all the way up to working for the President of the United States. You have this much influence if you just make yourself available. And Scripture is replete with this. We have to understand that this warfare is not just a means of affecting the kingdom, it also affects the kingdom of darkness. There are different types of warfare. Feuds can be a warfare of between two families, like the Hatfields and McCoys. Right? We understand that, right? We also understand that there are civil wars, which this nation went through, which was the slavery issue was just one of the points that it was striving for, but really it was about states' rights, and it tore the fabric of this nation apart. From that, an insidious plan was ripped down, and a nation was given to finally heal. And that was abolishing slavery. But slavery takes on many different forms, of which we are slowly seeing slavery being implemented upon a people who are not paying attention to what's going on. We also understand that there is class warfare, which is being perpetrated today. It's an insidious plan of evil to put one group against another group, to call things that are good evil and call evil things good. Kind of sound familiar, right? In Scripture, prophets talk about this. They also say it's going to happen in the last days, of which we are in. It talks about individuals who don't have something but think they deserve to have this because others work hard, are intelligent about using their finances and monies to reinvest or to increase their wealth. And there's nothing wrong, there's nothing evil about wealth unless your heart is taken slavery of love of money. And I know none of us have that problem, right? Because none of us have money. There are even wars, and we're experiencing one today, of religion, which are opposing viewpoints of religion. We have it within Protestant Catholic wars, and we see that very proactive in Northern Ireland with Catholics and Protestants. We also see another war which is very big in the continent of Africa, and that is Muslim against Christian. And the genocide that is occurring in those people groups that are there. And people just want to love and be able to have the freedom to choose. And you have the freedom to choose, but in those countries that are being assaulted in this religious warfare, it will be the death of you. Because one group believes in dying for what it's espousing, even though it's evil, while another group has bit into the objectivity of passivity when we need to stand up and defend our families and defend our belief systems. And Scripture is replete with that too, that we're not to be lambs that are just to be slaughtered, although we are to be slaughtered for the cause of Jesus Christ, whatever that comes in. This is the highest form of warfare that I'm talking about, which is spiritual. Spiritual transcends all those other type of warfares because it deals with the human condition of our hearts. This warfare is real, and it deals with only two groups. It deals with Satan and his anti-God forces of demons that are influencing men who have their minds darkened and have their hearts thinking that what they're doing is good and wholesome, while God and his angelic forces are working with enlightened men and women who want to expose the darkness by revealing the kingdom of God, of which we are. This is real. This warfare has been going on even before the creation of man. This warfare continues today. And very shortly, it will be an end to it because the King, our King, will put an end to it. And what we need to understand is it is manifesting in the physical reality. And a lot of times what we do is we get caught up in the physical manifestations without looking behind the influences or the spiritual influences that is happening, which is affecting our culture. These groups would like us to focus on, you know, whether it's socialist or conservatives. I call them socialists because they're liberal. They're spending my money without me having a voice. And if I do voice it, that doesn't matter because they're going to do what they want to do because, after all, they won the election. Well, that's going to change too because you guys are going to affect this world for the cause of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that because we have been enlightened, our lives are not our own any longer. They have to be given to a greater cause, a greater purpose, which means we surrender our will, our wants, our desires for the King's. And when the King says we need to be doing something or showing up for something, that's priority. And some of you guys are beginning to get that. You're starting to understand that when I make God's priorities my priorities, He begins to start pouring out on our families unexpectedly. Turn to Isaiah 14. And I know I'm taking my time. I'm being a little deliberate here, but I'm going to go through this a little quickly. So that we can understand that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're told we're fighting against what? Right. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 20 says, and this is the Lord God speaking, our Father. He says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who have weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, note this, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the houses of his prisoners? We are not fighting each other. We are fighting spiritual wickedness, which is led by Satan. And you must begin to develop your ability to discern. And I compliment two of our men yesterday that discerned an individual who was spying out the land yesterday, who was casing our belongings, who we would say, call a thief, but we were gracious in that. And I commend our men to isolate him from going any further on the property. They were using their ability to discern, because just because people say one thing, you must discern what is going on. Satan's greatest desire is not only to be like God, but to receive God's worship. And the way he's going to do that is he's going to create a kingdom that is like heaven, but he's going to subject people to it. If you read Revelations, you can see that very shortly in the near future, the mark of the beast is going to be a reality. You will no longer be able to buy or sell, be educated, do anything, because this warfare is busting out into the physical realm. And if you think that this is not going to affect you, think about this reality. We have people who are working without a paycheck presently. Can you live a life without having a job? Can you live a life without food, substance, support? I'm here to tell you, you can. Because God says he can. And he has proven time and time again to make provision for his people, irregardless of what the enemy throws against us. That's the victory that we have. It's our faith in God. If you don't think that, then you're siding with culture that's being slowly strangled into slavery by overtaxation, lack of economic development, and most importantly, government taking over people's lives in such a way that they are trying to tell the people that they're in charge and the people work for them, when in really the way this system's been set up, which is probably the closest that God has upon here to his kingdom, is they work for us. Hear me. They work for us. It's not indiscriminate that they just work for Christians, or they just work for Muslims, or they just work for this group or that group, although special interest comes into play. They work for the people, of which they are victimizing the people and enslaving the people, and the plan is so insidious that most people aren't even paying attention to what is going on. And Satan is influencing the men to make choices between freedom in God or having the things that are provided by man. Isn't that the same tactic that Satan used on Jesus? Look at the temptations. I'm not talking about the singing group, although I love them. But look at how he applied this to Jesus. Warfare is real. Warfare affects the physical realm. And your prayers are staying back that warfare. If you don't think that has any effect on what's going on, you don't realize how powerful your prayer life is and what it's to do and how it's designed by God for us to work in unison with our Father in heaven. But there creates, in this discernment, there creates a problem. We understand we have an enemy, and we understand that he's invisible, and we don't understand that this warfare is raging all around us. Even where we're sitting, warfare is all around us. It's invisible, and we don't sense what's happening. Turn to Jeremiah 17. I am going to expose a problem that you and I have. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10 says, "The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." In other words, as you conform to God's will, He blesses you. If you conform to the wickedness of your heart and are given to the things that this world wants to provide for, God will let you have that. But understand, one's eternal, generational, and its blessings. The other one is temporary. It's for here and now. And that's what is going on right now. Augustine said, "The sinfulness of man makes him devoid of rational will. For not even lions or dragons have waged the war against their own kind as men have waged this one upon each other." Satan is enticing the minds of men because our hearts are so wicked, we unwittingly give him what we want and he miraculously supplies it to tempt us at our own evil desires. This is why Jesus emphasized Satan has nothing in him. He couldn't find any wickedness in his heart. He was pure. He was clean. Can we say the same? Let's face it. Can we get just real? We don't want to hear about our wickedness. We really don't. We want you guys really want me to preach a message that makes you feel good, don't you? But it ain't going to happen. You see, because I understand responsibility. And you will too today. How much wickedness is contained within our heart? Only God knows. And we try real hard to suppress this wickedness. We try to suppress this evil desire. But what we don't do is sit before the Lord. We don't have our minds renewed. We don't think like God thinks. And then we say stuff like, "Well, Pastor, you know, that's good for you. But, I haven't come to that light." Well, if you haven't come to that light, that tells me so much more. You're not trying to understand the light. You're not even in the light. You're standing on the fringe of a halo that you don't want your sin to be exposed. And God says that's the best thing for us, to stand in the light and expose us, because haven't we been learning this about preparation of the bride? Is to get naked with each other spiritually? That there would be nothing between us. That we would share our hearts and understand the purity of what we're sharing. How to edify each other in such a way that we move together in this. But Satan would impose his will upon us to try to convince us that this is the wrong thing to do. And so we have this spiritual conflict going on within our hearts. While we want to do the things of God, our minds are telling us it's evil. Which one do you listen to? Freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." The stark realities that are happening at this time is that men are willing to surrender their God-given freedoms for a piece of bread, for a job, for money, for health care, for whatever, because they don't think that there's any cost to their freedom. The fact of the matter is, we as a people should be fighting for our freedoms and fighting back this intrusion that is trying to couple us into slavery. And as I was talking with individuals yesterday, they were like, drop jaw, hitting the floor. They're like, and I point my finger at them saying, and that's what this church is about. We're all going to stand up for God. We all are. To the degree that your mind has been renewed, to the degree that you understand your responsibility, that's how much closer you'll move into this warfare. You see, if you're waiting for the warfare to visit you, you're already enslaved. That's the truth. I can't tell you the battle that I've been going through since leaving a secular job to move streams into this building. And I was sharing some of it with Dan and Nikki yesterday about a problem we're facing, and we're on the same page. We're trying to solve this problem. I am not going to let Satan stop the people of God. Amen. We are the victors. Amen. We are. We had the freedom. And I'm not going to surrender that without a fight. Which means I'm going to have to die because I'm not surrendering it. I'm not capitulating to anything that man thinks is a great idea. Hear me, that man thinks. And the lie that is being perpetrated is one that we're all saying, and innocently we don't think about it. It's not fair. It's just not fair. Think about those people who don't have, and you fill in the blank. I say, there's a reason why they don't have it, and it's because they don't have freedom in Jesus Christ. Because only can we experience this freedom is by His Spirit. Any person that doesn't have His Spirit and actively pursuing and seeking God and doing what He wants done is in bondage. Spiritual bondage. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came, to set men free. That which what we're overcome by is what we're slaves to. If it's money, if it's our next meal, if it's a lack of work, or a lack of a job, or a lack of being loved, do you turn to Jesus, or do you turn to man? Freedom is not what others tell you that what is right or wrong, what you can do or can't do, or what you don't have or what you do have. Without the Spirit of the Lord, no one can be free. Because where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom. And that freedom isn't just to come and worship here at Streams. That freedom is to be who He has created you to be. And Satan wants to control you. He wants to manipulate you. He wants to keep you thinking in a poverty state. You are rich. You are royalty. And you got to begin to start thinking in that realm. And part of thinking in that realm is understanding your responsibility before your Father, who is King of all the universe. Turn to Acts 3. Acts 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Did he give him money? Did he give him a J-O-B? What did he give him? What did he give him? He gave him back the ability that God created in him was to walk. Walk to become whatever God wants him to be. Not what somebody else says. What God says he should be. Peter and John demonstrates to us the true freedom and the setting of men free from their physical needs. We don't do things because we're afraid that we're going to lack something. It's going to cost us more than we're willing to pay. That's why Jesus said, count the cost before you get started. Before you entered into the kingdom. Some of you came to Jesus Christ out of need. And when you got that need met, you became satisfied. Don't be satisfied. Keep pressing in. You're more than what the world says you are. You are. Your job is not only to be raised up and trained up. Your job is to replicate. Not just have babies, but disciples in Jesus Christ. That's your job. Well, Pastor, I just can't go out and share my faith. Why? Well, I'm afraid of what they'll say to me. Are you afraid of what God's going to say to you when you stand before Him? That you buried a talent that He gave to you? Do you know that the witness that to bring one soul into the kingdom may pay dividends for generations to your account in heaven? Charles Finney stated, he's sharing a message just before he retires at 79. Do you know who Charles Finney was? He's one of the patriarchs of American faith in this country. He said this, "Brethren, our preaching will bear its legitimate fruit. If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours to a great degree. If there is decay in conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discrimination, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses interest in religion, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules the halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are readily to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. Let us not ignore this fact, my dear brethren, but let us lay to heart and be thoroughly awake to our responsibility in the fact and respect to the morals of this nation. I take to heart my responsibility to prepare you to do your job." And I've heard all kinds of things. I've heard, "Well, Pastor, you just can't tell them because this is a volunteer army of God." I said, their volunteerism stopped when they enlisted Jesus Christ, when they became in. That volunteerism stopped. Now you've given your life. Can you say, if you went into the military, "I volunteer to go into the military, I promise to do everything it says to do," and then when you go to boot camp, you just do your own thing? There have been people that thought that. Why is that mindset in the church? The responsibility of the church and why it lacks the power is because the pulpit hasn't been bringing conviction to the souls of men and women. They don't see the necessity of being convicted, being a people of strong conviction of what God says, not what man says. People have sat in my office, and I've listened to them, and I've just said one thing to them. I don't care about if you have a great idea. Is it God? Because we're not doing anything do because of great ideas. We're doing it because God said to do it. And people get insulted, and they walk out. I don't care. The church is supposed to be the treasure trove, the bride of Jesus Christ. We are to reflect Him, not the world. And there's too much world in our church, still in us, and I'm included here, that needs to go. I'm trying to get you to understand that when we get into the building, all things are changed. All things are made new. When Israel crossed over the Jordan River, did they still do their own thing? I can't hear you. No, they didn't. Why? Because they were in warfare. You're in a war and don't even realize it. You're still asking God for your selfish things instead of asking God for the things that He wants. Try that in your prayer life. Start asking God what He wants. And don't be surprised when He tells you what He wants. I had an individual come to me and say, "Pastor, God gave me this." And I read what He gave me and I said, "You know, that's great. He told me that 15 years ago. I'm glad you're catching up." See, I'm waiting on you to grow up. He's waiting for all of us to grow up. And it's the church's responsibility to grow up, to become all that Christ has called us to be. Whether it's to lay down our lives, lay down our jobs, lay down our wants and desires, He is going to provide. You have to believe this or you're not in it. You know what? The fact of the matter is this. I could have stayed working at my secular job because it was comfortable. I could have. But you see, I'm willing to take God at His word and take the challenge. He says, I've called you to come out to lead this people into a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But you have to fight for it. So I said, Lord, I'll do it. And last week I was bragging about how God has taken me from a job that provided me the opportunity to study His Word and allow His Spirit to go forth to a place where that job has provided me a retirement in which I could continue to do this and be full-time pastor at no expense to the church. But that's wrong. Because the church hasn't taken her responsibility seriously to invest into this work. Well, I'm busy, Pastor. Okay, you're busy. Those who want the things of God are around the people of God when the people of God assemble. Our job is to set the people free. But if we're still struggling in the things of day-to-day life, we're a slave. How are you going to set somebody free when you're a slave? Remember when we were in the Republican Club and the one day the Lord just told me to start laying hands on people and Nolan shot out. I just didn't even touch him. And the power shot out through him and drove him back six rows in the air. All you people just fell to the floor. Well, God wants you to stand up and start taking your place. Yeah, He's awesome. He's powerful. He wants to be amongst you. He doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to set the same example as Israel. Pastor, you go and talk to God and come back and tell us what He says. He wants you to come together, all together, that we hear what He says and we do what He says. Finney's words are speaking true today as he did when he said it to a new group of pastors, the next generation. I'm telling you right now, I'm throwing a challenge to you. God has provided for me. I have walked this thing for 30 years by faith and taken responsibility. It is now your responsibility. Go before Him. Find out what it is that He wants you to do. Then do it. It doesn't get any simpler than that. I don't care what anybody says about me. I really don't. The only one that matters is God, because He died for me. He paid the price for me. He told me. He's the one that restored my marriage. He's the one that has given me this work. He's the one that has encouraged me. He's the one that has blessed my family. He's the one that has provided for me. He's the one that has taken me from the desert into the promised land. He's the one that equips me. He's the one that teaches me how to fight. He's the one that has restored me when the enemy came in and tried to take me out. He's the one. See, I'm going to brag on my father because he's the one that did it all. Who are you bragging on? Who do you stand up and praise? Who's consuming your life? What is consuming your life? is probably the better question. Church, do not settle for less than what God has for you. Even the person who is called just to clean the church building and does that faithfully and does it with a song on their heart, you know, is greater than I am. And that's the truth. My responsibility is no different than yours. And that responsibility is to do your job. Get free. Go tell people. I was out there with people that I didn't even know talking about the Lord yesterday. You know what? I'm a walking, talking epistle. I'm the epistle of Gary by Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you have forgotten that, you know what? You need to share your faith again. You need to start thinking about what He has done for you and tell other people what He has done because of that. Tell them that because you come to streams, you're going to get encouraged. You're going to be challenged to be all you can be. You're going to be talked about your sin in your life and how to deal with it by nailing it on a cross, getting it under the blood, and walking free. That's what He's done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, the cross, and all these things He'll add to you. We're so busy about everything else but the kingdom. It's about time the church gets about the kingdom and about her king. Because you know what? We're going to a wedding feast. And we're the guest. We're the ones He's going to serve. He's going to wait upon us. He's the one that's going to provide for us. He's the one dressing us. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be part of the wedding feast where all heaven is just going crazy while this world is going to hell in a handbag? We can have that now, guys, in our worship services. And that's what he designs the worship service, is for us to adore and brag on Him and tell Him. Maybe your next step is just to tell God in public how much you love Him. Maybe it's to get out of your chair and stand up and praise Him. Maybe it's to give a testimony about what God did this week. Whatever it is, it's a step. It's a challenge. But you can no longer stay where you are. You see, if we think we're going to fight this war from the pews, we're sadly mistaken. We're going to fight it out there. We come back in here, we get built up and sent out. What are you going to do? Our hearts are desperately wicked, but we got to stop listening to the rhetoric that's in the world. We got to hear what God's saying in the Word. We got to know our shepherd's voice. We got to stop asking for the trivial things and start being about His business. You don't understand. I had the same needs. Don't you get it? I'm here because I took the challenge. I stepped out of it. And God said, "You're faithful. I'm going to do this for you. But I want you to do this." So I did that. And He did what He said. I went here. I did that. I went to Guatemala. I did that. I went to the prisons. I went here. I went there. Why? Jesus said, "If you done it to the least of them, you did it as unto me." Matthew 6:33, in practical sense. I'm trying to give you a heads up, guys. I'm trying to tell you that, yeah, you've come a long way and you've been challenged. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Some of you have heard the voice of the Lord, and it's so awesome that you've become afraid of what He wants to do, where He wants to place you, how He wants to use you. You know what? Don't let your heart be be troubled. Don't let the enemy steal from you any longer, because God's plan and purposes is so much more, and you're satisfying yourself with crumbs. You are to go and set people free. How do you do that? By being where God wants you to be. Saying what God wants you to say. Bragging on Him. And living your life in excellence for Him. Because you may be the only Jesus that people see in their life. And you may have the opportunity to lead them to salvation. I hope that you guys really ponder this, because our culture is important. This nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Nothing else. They're rewriting history. They're trying to tell the people a lie. We need to know the truth. We need to know where we came from. Who went before us. Because one day, you're going to be written in the annals of history. Because your life matters. You're going to impact this world for Jesus Christ. I'm just a shepherd, caring for His flock. And I'm walking the same walk as you guys are. I'm no better than you. I'm only a half a step ahead of you. But I encourage you to walk where I'm walking. Be all that you're called to be. Don't ever be satisfied. Be that person that God has created you to be. Because you have to convince yourself to start saying it. I am a king of the Most High God. I am a princess of the Most High God. I am more powerful than any demon, any person, any man-created thing in here. No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you start talking the words that God says for us, guess what? Your mind changes, your heart changes, and you begin to start seeking what He wants and no longer seeking what you need and want, because He's going to meet it. Amen? Father, we just thank You, God. We thank You that You have given us this time, God, to begin to see our culture, the people around us, to discern, Father, this spiritual warfare that is going on, and it's manifesting today, God. God, You're telling Your church to become more proactive in the culture. And Father, I just ask right now that You forgive us. Forgive us, Jesus, for not being that proactive. Forgive us for doubting Your word. Forgive us for not speaking truth into being, God. Father, from this point forward, let us jettison the excuses. Let us conform to Your will and Your ways. Let us make Your plans and purposes first and foremost, whether it's directing our family life or the life of this church or the life of the network, God. You are bringing a great harvest of souls into streams, into the churches that want You, into everything before the end comes, God. Father, may we be found diligent and faithful to be working in Your fields, doing what You want done, to bring You glory and to make sure Your house is full. For in one day, God, we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be just like Jesus. And until that day, may we continue to nail our evil hearts to that cross and expose it by Your light, God, by being in Your word. And Holy Spirit, don't leave us. We need You. We need You more today than when we first got saved. Because we are a forgetful people. We have forgotten how important You are in our lives. Because it is You who empowers us by grace to walk this thing out. I ask You, bless Your people richly today. And may we be a people prepared to take the good news to all the highways and byways in Williamstown, to this state, to this nation, to the world, God, for the cause of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.